Genesis 1, 2, and 3 is where we're going to be this morning. You see, you want to understand heaven. You know the Lord is your Savior, and you want to know where you're headed. Remember, if you want to know what God's going to do in the future, just look at what he's already done in the past. You want to get a clue of what heaven's going to be like? Start in Genesis. You ever thought about that? Just look at what he's done in Genesis, and you're going to at least have the key to unlocking the door to what heaven is going to be like. So why don't we do exactly that? Let's look at how all this started back in Genesis 1, where it says in verse 1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." You got to understand the heavens is plural. That's because there's actually three heavens mentioned in Scripture. The third heaven is the abode of God, what you typically think of heaven. Oh, that it's a beautiful place that you're looking forward to. I don't believe that's what he's referring to in Genesis 1:1. The other two heavens are probably what he has in mind. The second heaven is outer space, the solar system and the stars and the planets, the universe. The first heaven is the atmosphere around our planet, okay? Which is beneath our orbit, okay? He created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. The darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. Good. And that word just means that it was pleasant. It was excellent. It was agreeable to God. God took pleasure in the light. It was good. He took pleasure in it. Then you go down, to about verse 9. "Then God said, 'Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place. Let the dry land appear.' And it was so. God called the dry land earth. And gathering together the waters, he called seas. And God saw that it was good." The seas, the earth, where the seam that joined them called the beach or the shoreline, this was all good. It was pleasant. It was excellent. It was agreeable to God. It brought God good pleasure. Then he says, verse 11, "Then God said, 'Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed and the fruit that yields fruit, the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth.' And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good." The vegetables, the plant life that God created on the earth was good. It was pleasant, excellent, agreeable to God. It brought him good pleasure. Verse 17, "God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light to the earth and to rule over the day and over the night." That is, he created the sun and the moon. "And to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good." The sun, when it was blazing hot last week, was still good. And the moon, when it's just beautiful in the sky. When God created those, they were pleasant, excellent, agreeable to God. They brought him good pleasure. And then you go down and it says, verse 20, "Then God said, 'Let the waters abound and with abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament.' So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, that which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good." All the birds, all the aquatic life, was pleasant and excellent and agreeable to God. They brought God good pleasure. They were good. And then, in verse 24, "Then God said, 'Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to its kind.' And it was so. God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good." All the land animals, all of them, the insects to the mighty dinosaur, And God saw that and said it was pleasant, excellent, agreeable to him. It brought him good pleasure. Then, from verses 26 through verse 30, you see that God made man, made Adam and Eve, and he instructed and he established man, established him in the earth, and instructed him what to do. It says in verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." That's the Trinity speaking. That's why it's plural. "Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." In other words, man is supposed to be in charge of the animals, not the other way around. Verse 27, "So God created man in his own image, in the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful.'" Here's some of the instructions. "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I've given you every herb that yields seed, which is in the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. Then God saw everything that he made, and indeed it was very good. That's his assessment of the whole creation. After the end of the sixth day, the whole shebang, God looks at it and says, "This is very good, very pleasant, very excellent, very agreeable. It brought much good pleasure to God." Seven times in Genesis 1, seven times it says the word good. Everything he made, and seven times he says, "It is good." In fact, the seventh time he said, "It is very good." Folks, that was the way mankind was designed to live, with God. Very good. That was the plan. It was God's plan. And it was going really well until man, namely Adam, fell into sin. So we've taken a look at God's original creation. Now, let's take a look at what sin did to this plan of God's. Okay? What did sin do? Well, you actually find that in chapter 3. We get to 3, and what you find is that the serpent, which was an animal used of Satan, Satan tempted Eve. You know the story. She fell into temptation. Really, she was tricked. She was deceived. And she ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which she was not to partake of, because she bought Satan's lie that it would be a good thing to do. And then she offered it to Adam, and Adam took it as well. Verse 6, "So the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate." People often say, where was Adam this whole time that Eve was talking to this snake? Well, according to verse 6, he was with her. In other words, he wasn't far. Do you see why Adam is held of higher responsibility than Eve? It was his job. God created him as the head of household to look out for his wife. He bore the responsibility. And so Satan went after Eve instead of him. And he stood by, and I can't help but wonder, was he just waiting to see what would happen to Eve when she bit into that fruit? And when she didn't die physically, then he took his turn. And he failed. He failed as a man in following God's instructions, not only to avoid that tree, but he failed in his God-given role to look out for his wife. He should have booted that snake out of there. He blew it. And so he is held to higher responsibility than she. And now sin has entered the world. Sin has entered mankind, specifically. Okay? And when man sinned, was God's plan destroyed? No. His creation was ruined. Ruined with death. But his plan for creation, folks, was never destroyed. What did we read in this morning's scripture reading in Isaiah 46? What God says he will do, he will do. He will make it so. His plan wasn't destroyed, but it was interrupted. How was God's creation ruined with death? Well, take a look at verse 8. It says, and they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Why does one hide from God instead of run to him? They'd never done this before. Well, first thing that happened in this death was that man lost his wonderful fellowship with God. His fellowship was destroyed. That's sad. But then in verse 16, speaking to Eve, he says to the woman, I'll greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Childbearing was not supposed to be that painful. Then he says, your desire shall be for your husband, he shall rule over you. What he's saying here is that now there is a strained relationship within mankind because of sin. There's a strain in the husband-wife relationship. Guys, has your wife ever said something like this? You are such a man. Okay, that's not a compliment when she says it that way, okay? You know, the kid says, Dad, I thought it was good to be a man. Well, not since the 1960s, evidently. I'm such a man. And then, ladies, has your husband ever said something to the effect of, I am never going to understand women? Right. Why do you think we talk like this? That's part of the sin that entered humanity. That's not that disharmony was not part of the original design. Sin introduced that. And then in verse 17, says, go halfway down, he says, cursed is the ground for your sake, and toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. See, man was already supposed to be working when he subdued the earth, but it wasn't supposed to be toilsome work. See, another part of the ruined death was that the earth was cursed. Have you noticed that? You don't have to work at all to get your weeds to grow. You just neglect them and they just take right off. You'll work like crazy in your garden and maybe you'll get a good crop, maybe not. From hard work. That's what sin did. That was not part of the original design, folks. Work was always supposed to be pleasurable, as it often is, but it was supposed to be pleasurable without the toil. And then, look at verse 21. It says, also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics out of skin and clothed them. He had to kill an animal in front of their eyes and make clothes for them. That's another part of this wretched sin, is that it caused animals themselves to die. Adam and Eve hadn't seen an animal die yet. They were vegetarians. Now an animal's dead. That's what sin does. It introduces death in all kinds. It ruined this creation with death. And then verse 22, then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, again, the Trinity speaking, to know good and evil, and now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever, therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden. So the fifth thing we see happen here with the ruining of death, man lost access to the tree of life. Do you know he was supposed to be eating of the tree of life until the fall? And he lost access to that tree of life. And that was out of mercy. God did not let man eat of that tree in his fallen state, lest we live forever in these earthly, fleshly bodies. How'd you like to live forever in this body that just keeps getting worse and worse and worse and worse? And that would be your existence forever. Do you see, it was an act of mercy that God said, you're not eating of that tree. But that was not part of the original plan. That tree was supposed to be something that man was supposed to eat freely of every day, that tree of life. No more. But God does not fail in his plans, folks. He had another plan to redeem man, to purchase man out of that fallen state and out of these fallen bodies. And why could God carry out such a plan? Because what God created was not destroyed, it was merely interrupted. Interruption is the best Satan could do. But God's plan goes forth. Salvation is not just salvation from hell, as wonderful as that is. Salvation is about bringing us back to fellowship with God so he can restore that original plan he started so long ago. And when you see that creation way back when was good, it was pleasurable to God, it brought him good pleasure. When you see that plan as merely interrupted, you have the key to see what's waiting in the next life. Understand that? What he started was good. It's interrupted, folks. It's not done. It's going to get good again. See, now you have an idea of where we're headed. Now, this is not to say that eternal glory is going to be identical to the Garden of Eden and to earth as it was before the fall of man. Not identical, because the Bible teaches some very clear differences between that creation and what's coming. And we're going to get into those differences. We have reason to believe that things are going to be new and improved in glory than they were in the Garden of Eden. But we also have reason to believe that much of what God started way back then with subduing the earth and giving man jobs to do and to create and to work with his hands, we have reason to believe that such things as that are going to continue on into glory forever and ever. By the time we're done with this series, we are going to blow away this idea of all of us Christians sitting on clouds, wearing little ribbons like naked babies, playing harps forever and ever and ever. That's of the world, okay? That's the kind of stuff that belongs on white cloud bathroom paper. Right? We're not doing that. God has something so much more, and he just gave us a clue to what he has in Genesis 1 and 2. So God's plan was not destroyed, hardly, because what God starts, God finishes. And not Satan, and not sin, and not fallen humanity is going to stop God's plan. And that's what waits for you in glory, a finished work. Don't you want to explore that work a little bit more? And how this thing is all going to wrap up? That's exactly what we're going to do. Starting next week, we're going to look at some of the differences between that original creation in Genesis 1 and 2 and the future glory. And we're also going to look at the similarities at what started in Genesis 1 and 2 and is going to continue in that future glory. All of that next Sunday morning. Amen. And if you don't know the Lord yet as your Savior, remember that Jesus Christ came to die for sins so that you could look forward to that future glory after this life, but also have a relationship with God Almighty during this life. He died for you. He rose for you. To think you can get to heaven any other way is to reject what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Friend, do not reject the Son of God. Do not reject God.